I was actually expecting that you would go side to side too. Right? Blessed assurance. You know, it is God's gift to us today. To let us know that He cares. To let us know that there's something in there that is for us. If you're going to look at it, it is beyond our story. Really, it is not our story, but God's story. And that is the case. And that is our theme for the month of February. And that is to intentionally share the message of Christ. And that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, for those of you who were here, the Lord brought to our attention through Reverend Darrell Dash the truth about that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now, in relation to this, it is also true that not all disciples or believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are sharing the gospel as they should. This morning, I'd like to invite everyone to turn your Bibles back to our text in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Which tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ, before He ascended to heaven, He gave His disciples a promise and at the same time a great challenge. And that is to be witnesses for Christ. And that is to be missionaries for Christ. As we are all missionaries. Some are called for specific missions, but biblically speaking, we are all missionaries. Brethren and friends, we know that this particular text in Acts 1:8, for example, although it was primarily given to the disciples at that point in time, this command applies to you and to me too. Yeah? Oh, thank you. There's one person who said amen. It is for us. Amen? So it is my prayer that this morning God will enrich us. And at the same time, you will allow God to talk to you. And that you will allow God to really use you in the advancement of God's kingdom. You know, if there is a privileged person on the planet Earth, it is you and I. We are recipients and carriers of the greatest message that ever presented to man, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray that our church as a whole will not only become ambassadors for this message, but we will be aggressively, that is the whole point, aggressively sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you very much for allowing your people to be able to hear from you again. The importance of your command. That we are privileged to share the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer, Father, is that you will talk to all of us in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives. That the word that you will bring to our attention today will make us a better believer and a better witness for Christ. Please help all of us as we look upon your word. Help your servant to speak clearly and comprehensively that we all be open for the transformation of our lives. And if there is anyone here who have not yet received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, Father, that you will bless this person today. In Jesus' name, Amen and amen. Looking at verse 8 on the beginning portion, it reads that, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. You see, at that point in time, the promised Holy Spirit had not yet come. Many times, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to His disciples, and He was explaining the love of God, and He said that there is this promise that I am giving you. The Holy Spirit. It is quite interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ, in many times that He was teaching the disciples, at least by using the book of John or the Gospel of John, He actually spent 3 chapters just to say, just to mention that there is Holy Spirit who is to come. We see that in John chapter 14, 15 and 16. And then again in the book of Acts, you will see it from the first chapter and the ministry of the Holy Spirit when He came. What a wonderful story that is. The book of Acts is the story of mission, the story of church, how it started and how it obeyed God by sharing the message. And there is really one message. And that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody was asking, what is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is the basic definition of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? It was simplified in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. It says that this is what the gospel all about, that there is God who loves us so much that from heaven He came down. He came down to die for you. Why did He come to die for you? Because there's a problem for you. You are a sinner. You needed a Savior. He came to die and He was buried. And He rose again on the third day. That is the gospel. That's the simplest definition of the gospel. He came, He died, He was buried, and He rose again. And that is very important. Now, in our text, it says, you will receive. It is a predictive future tense, which means that it will certainly come to pass. And it did. It really did. You see, at the point of the writing in chapter 1, 40 days after the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected, before His ascension, He gave these last words. He said, you will receive, and that it will surely come. And then if you're going to look at the next chapter, it did come, that the Holy Spirit came. You know, in the Old Testament, it is quite different. We were talking about the New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, there is also the person of the Holy Spirit. So, He comes and empowers specific people for a specific ministry, but He does not stay. He comes and He goes. And in the history of early church, He has not come for them. But it did come. After 10 days, so on the 50th day after the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, the Holy Spirit came. Now, how about for you and for me? You see, later on when you read the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, if you're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and in Romans chapter 8, you will see that when a person comes to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will come immediately and indwell to the believer permanently. He would not come and go. He stays. That is the big difference now. And that's where we are at. God is always good. All the time. God is good. And God is good all the time. Because God is our provider. Whenever there's a need, He provides, especially when there is ministry to do. That is why God says it is necessary for someone to help you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And in order for us to be effective witness for Christ,
We cannot do it alone. You cannot do it yourself. You need the Holy Spirit. You know, you may be the wisest person on the planet Earth. You may be having great skill in communication. You may be well trained in evangelism. But without the spiritual power of the Holy Spirit, you will not be effective. That is the context of Acts chapter 1:8. On the other hand, you may not be highly educated. You may not be deep in theology. You may be average in social skills. But if you will allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you will be effective. And that is the simple message in our text. The Holy Spirit fills the believer, indwells the believer, and help the believer to be bold in sharing the gospel message. The Holy Spirit gives us the verses to say. You know, you don't have to have 1,001 verses to share the love of Christ. You can use the favorite of many people. John 3:16, that is enough. Just to share the gospel message and just go around it. And there are many ways to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I actually, in preparation, I use another Bible. I use a Hebrew-Greek study Bible just to kind of connect more of what is witness means. What is the word witness means? Which implies this, this power. I was actually mentioning about the power that is to come to us, as it was explained in 1:8. You will receive power. The power, the word power, it means dunamis. It is what? It is a miraculous power. You are going to receive something that will be miraculous. And that is the whole point in our text. It is not going to be ordinary. You and I may be an ordinary person, but you will be extraordinary when the Spirit helps you in sharing the gospel. Take a look at chapter 2, for example. Please browse chapter 2. The first four verses in chapter 2 tells us, when the day of Pentecost, that is 50 days after the resurrection, when they were all together, and suddenly there were violent winds. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, and all of them were what? Were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in known languages as the Spirit enabled them. So when the Spirit came, they were able to minister to those people who are using different language, having different dialect, but the disciples being empowered by the Holy Spirit, able to speak with different dialects. Imagine the crowds that were there, the wonderment that they had when the disciples out of the blue spoke in different languages. This was something else that the Spirit alone can do. You know, during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. We see that in the gospel books. And at the same time, we could see the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the apostles. They also performed many great miracles. You know the story in the book of Acts. That's why the book of Acts is called to be the Acts of the risen Christ through the Holy Spirit, the ministry in the church. Because this is what had taken place in the beginning, first seven chapters in the book of Acts. We could see how much the power of the Holy Spirit took place. There was a time in chapter 4, for example, even in beginning of chapter 2, there were 3,000 who came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in one meeting. In chapter 4, there is 5,000 in chapter 5. Many more added in chapter 6. Numbers of believers increased rapidly. That's what it says in chapter 6, rapidly. And the secret to that really is because of the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, the obedience of the people of God. If there is no obedience of the people of God, there is no advancing of the kingdom of God. You and I are called by God to do specific works. And one of which is to be witnesses for Christ. That's why the text says, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the ends of the earth. Now, you know the Greek word for witness, the Greek equivalent, as we know that the New Testament was originally put together in Greek language. It used the word martus, which refers to being martyr. As we know that the disciples became martyr for Christ. And many believers in the Lord are still being martyred and persecuted. We know that. It is historical. These days, we don't hear much in the Eastern Bloc in Europe. It's happening to a good extent. But more so in the Middle East area. And even in the Philippines. And you and me, to a very good extent, some of us were persecuted by our loved ones because we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you were persecuted by your own family members because you came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? And that is happening today. You know, the word witness sometimes there are many people, especially the new believers, they think that the word witness or being a witness for Christ is the same as being a soul winner. Those are not the same. They are connected, but they are two different things. It is best illustrated in a courtroom. You know, in the courtroom, there is the witness. The witness is called to testify. He rises from where he was seated and he would go to the stand. And he is supposed to say the truth and nothing but the truth. He tell what he knows. He would tell what he'd seen and heard and experienced and nothing but. Now, in the same courtroom, there is the prosecutor who is a lawyer. Someone who would gather the information and at some point in time would make a decision. So, in saying that, when a believer in the Lord tells someone about Jesus Christ, you are a witness. But the moment you try to get that person to make a decision for Christ, you become a soul winner. That's the difference. Just sharing the gospel, sharing the love of Christ, you are a witness. But once you try to lead that someone, whether to reject Christ and to accept Christ, you had become a soul winner. That's the big difference between the two. It is a fascinating truth because even in the Old Testament, it was well taken. In Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30 and even in Proverbs 14 verse 25, the fruit of the righteous life is like a tree producing life. And the one who wins souls is wise. That is soul winning. And the one who does not win soul is a disobedient one. That is the reverse. The charge of the Lord Jesus Christ to the disciples and to all of us is to be witnesses and at the same time to be soul winners. Now, who does the conversion? You and I do not do the conversion. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of God. You can never convert anyone. You can always share and you can only help someone to make a decision for Christ by convincing through the scriptures, by the aid of the Holy Spirit. But the conversion itself, it would take God to make a conversion. And that is the same story in our text, which tells us the sphere of the mission from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the world. It is interesting that when the Lord Jesus Christ sent the 12, they were sent to Galilee. It was interesting because Galilee is not, the north part of Israel is not where majority of the solid Jewish community are. There's a great area there that they were half-breed. Sometimes we call it the Samaritan, which is called close to the north part. But when they went there, the Lord Jesus Christ commanded the disciples this: you are not supposed to witness for others but the Jewish community. That's what he says in the sending of the 12. When he sent the other 70, that is not the 12, in Luke 10, and the message is this: it's supposed to be universal blessing or universal challenge, and to share the gospel for everyone, not basically for the Jews, for the whole world. And that's how we would see also in the book of Acts. You see in the book of Acts, from chapter 1 to chapter 7, you would see that the gospel concentrated in Jerusalem. Now, from chapter 8 all the way to chapter 9, verse 31, you would see that the concentration is in Judea and in Samaria. Now, in 9, chapter verse 32 all the way to chapter 28, what you would see is the spread of the gospel through missionary journeys all over the world during that time. So in saying that, we could see that to a very good extent, the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1, especially verse 8, it actually happened. And still happening today. Because the work is not yet done. I hope that you are ready. Are we ready? Parang hindi naman yata. You know, sometimes it is very challenging to put this text into practice. It's never easy. And there are occasions when we would say that the wherever we live at is our Jerusalem. The other province and the worldwide Canada is our Judea and Samaria. And of course, outside Canada is the rest of the world. And that is an acceptable application. There's nothing wrong with that. But in reality, all of us have different personal private world. What do I mean by that? You see, our home is the center of our private world, personal private world. Around that would be your doctor, your employment, your school, your immediate community, your grocery store, your recreation, your restaurant, even your mall. Your mall is not my mall. Your grocery store is not my grocery store, even your neighbor. So you have your own personal private world. But the great news is this: in our own personal private world, the world is here because the world is in Canada. Wherever you go, you would see the whole world, the face of the world is here. Isn't that cool? You don't have to fly 24 hours to go to the Middle East, to go to Australia, or even to go to the Philippines. It takes so much time. But in Canada, everybody is here. Did you know that in California, the biggest number of immigrants in California is us? Over 3 million Filipinos is in California. Can you imagine that? And in Canada, the Filipino number is growing too. So the mission field is here. But it doesn't mean that you and I are to neglect the other areas. You see, isn't it true that charity starts at home? So we witness beginning at home, where we live, our family members, our relatives, our friends, our neighbors, and so on. We cannot do only family. We cannot do only our community. We cannot do only certain group of people. We need to be intentional and international. There were groups of churches in North America that they were saying, you know, at sometimes when you put, when your church name is like ours, for example, the First Filipino Baptist Church, other nationality may not come in because it says Filipino Baptist Church. It has its advantage and disadvantage. And they were saying that, and some churches in the United States did it this way. First Filipino International Baptist Church. There is that word international, which becomes more open for other nationality. But at the same time, if you take away the word Filipino, for example, a lot of times many Filipinos who are coming from the Philippines, when they come to Canada, they go to internet and say Filipino Church in Toronto. And then boom, First Filipino Baptist Church. So it has its own blessings too. But the point is this, you and I are called to witness. And it can be done. And it should be done in many different ways. Number one, you could basically use a story in the Bibles. For example, since we are studying the book of Acts, if you turn, when you go home, if you turn to the book of Acts, chapter 26, you will see a wonderful piece, okay, of sharing the message of Christ by a narrative, and that is the story of Apostle Paul. When you see from verse 2 to 10, you will see Apostle Paul's past before he came to Christ. And then from verse 12 to 20, you will see how he came to Christ. And then from verse 21 and the following verses, you will see his life in Christ. Simple, really simple. That's all there is to it. It doesn't need rocket science. And the main focus when you share the gospel, it has to start with Christ. The message is Christ, and it ends with Christ. Do not talk about other things, that, and then it will go to a debate. How about using your personal testimony, how you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? By telling them what your attitudes were like before coming to Christ, and telling them the circumstances that surround your conversion, during your conversion, the life that you used to live. And then after that, is using the changes that had taken place in you, because we know that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And that new creation is in you is a very important and good convincing factor in order for you to become a good witness for Christ. Because if your life has not changed, people will be confused of you. Now, other people would use the impersonal approach. Sometimes they would give tracts. Other people will give the little book of the Gospel of John. Other people would use the social media. Other people, it's either texting or we know the social media. There's so many of them. And that is good facility. And there's nothing wrong with that. Other people are using friendship evangelism. Or in other way, it is called missional living. Meaning it is a life-to-life witnessing. You are exposing your lifestyle to someone, to your friend. And by them, they will figure out that there is this Christ in your life. But the point is this, the Lord expects us to share the gospel in whatever methodology you may have, you may want to use. Some people like to use the evangelism explosion, the bridge illustration, and many other ways, the youth for Christ, and there's so many, the four spiritual laws, there's so many ways, the inter-varsity facilities, there's so many. But the point is this, you and I are given this wonderful opportunity to share. And we need to be intentional on this one. Now, in your program, there are only two points. Number one is you will receive power. Number two is you will be my witnesses. You know, when you actually do that, when you actually become a witness, you cannot afford this number three point, which is prayer. It's prayer. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ sent the 12, and when the Lord Jesus Christ sent the 70, and when the Lord Jesus Christ sent the 120 and plus more, there is always the aspect of prayer. You know, before the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ witness in chapter 2, before Apostle Peter preached that sermon, when 3,000 plus people came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Acts chapter 1 verse 14, they will all together, join together, constantly praying. They were praying for 10 days. That is the implication. Praying 10 days. You know, if you go to Bible school and you would take the course Personal Evangelism, how it is a course that will help you to share the gospel in many different forms. And you know, in that course, it is divided in this percentage. 10% is the actual presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 90% is prayer. That is what Personal Evangelism is course about. And that is what we need to do. Sometimes we are so quick because we know there's an urgency in sharing the gospel. Because we don't know that, you don't know, you and I don't know that by the time you, well, I hope that I'm not praying that it will happen to you, especially with this bad weather. You never know that you will see tomorrow. But before we do that, we make sure that there is the aspect of prayer. If you're going to look at the book of Acts, if you're going to do a survey of the book of Acts, what you will see is the aspect of prayer. Almost every chapter of the book of Acts have the aspect of prayer. More than 30 times, you would be able to see the word pray, prayer, prayed. More than 30 times. And what does tell us? It tells that prayer is important. We all know that. And we need to be people of prayer too. You know, as for witnessing to the lost, this should be our prayer to God. That God would open their spiritual eyes, that God will open their ears and their hearts, that God would help them to respond and believe, that God would give us the opportunity, that you and I will pray for opportunity. You know, a lot of times, we do not do that. There's always the tendency, when there's the opportunity to share, sometimes there's this fear. Sometimes, oh, I'll just ask someone. I'll ask someone who is better than I am. I ask maybe an officer of the church or my cell group leader or one of the person in the church. You know, tell your story. It is you that God is prompting. So that means that it is you. You know, if we do not pray, let's say, let's use just every month, and just say, Lord, my prayer is that you will bless me this month to be able to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will happen. But if you will not pray for it, you don't even expect that it will happen because you do not ask for it. So for us believers, we have to pray for it. We have to ask for it. You know, one of the vision of our church is this, that there will be, in the next 10 years, that there will be at least 50 people who would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not very much, really. 5 in a year. You know why it was given conservatively? I was the one who gave it very conservatively. I have a basis for that. I was actually talking to some pastors and to some statistics. You can even probably see this in the internet if you're going to look at it. They were saying that in any given church, the conversion, how many do you think it is? Two. Only two in a year. In some churches, there is no conversion at all. But praise God, in our church, there are more, way more than that. Way more than that. We are at least 10 or more every year. At least that's what I know of, within the four walls of our church. But outside the four walls of the church, the cell group and everything, your workplace and all, when you share the gospel, isn't that wonderful? And this is the thing that we need to be taking place. You see, the good news is this. The harvest is still plentiful. The sad news, there's always the good news and the sad news. The sad news is that the laborers remains to be less. That's the sad part. You and I are called for to be witnesses of Christ and soul winners, and let God do the conversion. And as such, we have the story to tell to the nations. It's a song, really. It's a hymn. That's our closing hymn. A story of truth and mercy. A story of peace and light. And when it is done through the Holy Spirit, you can only expect miracles. And that will happen when we are obedient to God's word. If we will not be obedient, one of these days, the church will close down because there is no more new ones. But take it to heart, because God is still in control and he has not yet come, and you and I are still given the opportunity. Perhaps last year you were not able to share the gospel as you should. It's not that you did not. You weren't able to do it as you should, as you think it should be. But this year, you pray and ask God for the opportunity. And then you tell me what happened. I would like to know when that happened. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us the great privilege that we have in Christ, that we are your witnesses, that we are to be soul winners for Christ. Help your people not to shy away to tell your story. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me?